Man, my mind and my soul is just, and my heart is just overflowing after this past week. It was so good. So bear with me as I process this in the midst of sharing. But Leela loves you guys, loves seeing you guys a couple weeks ago. And so blessings from the Lazarus clan, Sean, Matthew, Nathaniel, and Jeremiah, that are in Alaska. And they wish they could be here, but they couldn't. So, is it okay if I'm just real?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how to do anything other than that, so I'm just going to be real. So we're just hanging out in our living room today, if that's okay. You guys good with that?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, can I just pray for a minute? Father God, what do you want to do? I pray that you just open our hearts to the work of your Holy Spirit and just help us to hear clearly. Amen. So, I was told that to preach, you have to have 3 points in a poem. So I tried to do that. It's hard. I did 3 points and a quote and a bunch of other stuff. So it will be what you can. I know this is probably hard to see, but let me find this. There we go. Can you guys see that okay? No? Yeah, I can probably put it up there. Can you see that? All right, sort of, kind of. All right, so let's just get one thing straight first, all right? Here's this line. Right here and right here and right here are the important things. This point is you know nothing about Jesus. This point is you know Jesus very well. And there's a plus one, plus two, plus three, plus four, plus five, minus one, minus two, minus three, minus four, minus five. This is a point of salvation. I guarantee you guys are all up there somewhere. I guarantee that. I don't know what it is, but God knows, and you know. The church historically has focused on the plus two to the plus five. The church needs to focus on the plus two to the minus five, meeting people where they are. So we're up there somewhere, but the point is, wherever you are, you want to go one step closer to Jesus. Always going one step closer, and you want to help others go one step closer to Jesus. So my 3 points are right here. So I'm giving away the end at the beginning. Created for relationship with God. We are created for relationship with God. Created for relationship with others. And created to make an impact. The other verse that I was going to read, Matthew 22. I've shared about that here in the past when I've come to visit. And in 2008 or 9, we were in a Leadership Essentials class, and this dude who is just exudes excellence, he's the CEO of Child Evangelism Fellowship, and very successful looking guy. I mean, wears a suit, and he just looks like this successful business guy, and his heart was so tender for the Lord. And he said, in ministry, we have an enemy that wants to attack what we're trying to do. But we can become bulletproof to his attacks. I was like, oh, that piqued my interest. And so he explained Matthew 22, 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So in other words, we have to love God. And we have to love others because of that love. He loved us first. And if we can love others as ourselves, like Jacob, if I can love you as myself, I want you to be successful before I'm successful. If we can do that, then there's no room for the enemy to come in, because the enemy doesn't come straight on. He comes in between us. And so one of the cool things about what I get to do, it's kind of an evolving life. It's a journey. And like, I just stand back and I'm shocked. Like, I get to hang out with high-level leaders in Alaska, pastors and missionaries and leaders of ministries. And that's my ministry, is to minister to them. And I want to tell you something. They're not perfect. They're messed up. I'm just telling you, because I work with them and I hear their hearts. They're messed up. We are all screwed up. Can we go with that for right now? Okay? So, like, we haven't arrived. We're not going to arrive till we're with Jesus. So we've got this stuff. And Romans 8, 28, 29, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to come to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And then Colossians 1, 28, Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone, what? Mature in Christ. All right? So this lovely drawing up here is an iceberg. Can you see it? That's an iceberg right there. And we have been taught as a church to focus above the waterline. This is a waterline. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is that big chunk that's below the waterline. We like to focus up here, but that's not where the heart is. The heart is below the surface. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but if we don't deal with this stuff, we're not going to grow. We just aren't. It's going to be fake. It's going to be illegitimate. And so that's, this past week, that's the conference that we attended, The Heart of the Leader. And man, here's the thing. Like, there's this book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I think it was Lucy was asking about Aslan. You guys remember this? Okay? Safe, Mr. Beaver says. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. God is not safe, but he's good. You know why he's not safe? He doesn't want to leave you down here messed up. He's continually pursuing us to change us, to mold us into his image. So that's what this message is about. So we're created for relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, and with others, and to make an impact. If you think back to Genesis 1, 26 through 28, and we talk about Adam and Eve, before the fall, what do you think that was like? Perfect. Shalom. Peace. Absolute trust. I mean, can you just think about that? Like, trust, shalom, peace. And then what happened? What's that? They did sin. And what happened to that relationship? Trust was broken, right? Relationship with God, relationship with Eve. And so we are built for that relationship with God, built for that relationship with man. And because it's broken, because sin entered the world, sin is anything we think, say, or do that displeases God. And so because of our wounded state, because of our fallen nature, we sin and people sin against us. Will those sins against us mar us for life? People see through the sin that's been inflicted on them. So a child 0 to 7, if you don't cuddle them, if you don't let them know they're loved, if you throw them to the side, say, I don't want to hear you, that affects them. There's a story, Pastor Bill, that was sharing at the conference last week, talked about his wife. She was 7 years old, and she had this beautiful frilly dress on. They were going to a wedding, and she spun around in front of the mirror, and she was just so happy and so excited. And her grandma was behind her. She's like, psst, vanity of vanities, and turned and walked away. At that moment, Pastor Bill's wife felt this huge blanket of shame fall on her, and it went with her for the rest of her life. Her son got married just a couple years ago, and her son was up there at the altar waiting for his bride-to-be, and his bride came out, and he started crying, started sobbing at her beauty, just sobbing. Look at these girls, check that out. Just sobbing. And Pastor Bill's wife was watching this. Like, she saw his face, she saw his future bride, and Jesus just ministered to her and said, he said, I love you like that. And she physically saw him take a Kleenex, just crumble it up and throw it away. And she was just free of that shame, that bondage. I mean, these things affect us for forever. Okay, so that was another story. Knowing our longings will expose what we are depending on for satisfaction in life. It will expose our false gods, our counterfeits. So because we're built with a longing for relationship with God, and because of the fall, we were separated from God, we don't have that relationship off the bat. And so because of that, man is looking for that relationship, so he fills it with other stuff, counterfeits, illegitimate stuff. That's why self-help books are so popular. Really, let's be honest. Everybody's trying to fix this problem, but we can't fix it. And so we're filling it with all this other stuff, with bigger cars, bigger trucks, snow machines, four-wheelers, bigger guns, bigger knives, more guns, more knives. Not that that's bad, but, you know. But we're always trying to get more to fill this longing for this relationship with God. And we just can never fill that. So because of this longing and trying to fill it with this other stuff, we're operating out of an illegitimate relationship. Pornography, I mean, man is always trying to get that perfect relationship with Eve. He's always trying to get that. And with pornography, man can control the outcome of Eve. That's why it's so vast. I mean, he can control it. He can make her love him. And that's just messed up. So the person who becomes committed to satisfying his longings without God, and who becomes a slave to an empty well, will violate any relationship in order to feel satisfied. Think about that for a minute. We're longing for that relationship, and we're going to manipulate to get that relationship. We're going to manipulate people. We're going to manipulate circumstances. We're going to manipulate the system by buying our relationship, by stealing our relationship. That's not a true relationship. We're always trying to do this different. A biblical model for understanding people takes into account all four capacities of personhood. John 10:10 talks about how Jesus came not only to save us, but also to give us an abundant life that includes finding fulfillment in our personal being, satisfying us with love and relationship and impact. So if we look, I guess I should erase that. Hang on a second. If we look at this thing, there's four parts of us. There's the personal, the rational, the volitional, that's a big word. You know what that means, Devaney? And emotional. Google it, man. All right, so, and pre-fall, just to show you just a little visual here, and post-fall, all right? So personal, before the fall, we are satisfied. After the fall, empty with our personal. Rational, this is how man thinks and evaluates. We are accurate. After the fall, we are darkened on how we think. Volitional this is how we choose. Volitional is how we choose. We are righteous. We made righteous choices. After the fall, we're manipulative. Emotional, man is an emotional being who experiences feelings. And in our emotions, the things that we do, think, and say, we're either going towards God or away from God in those things. So when we're emotional with a friend, with our wife, we can either be constructive or destructive. We're either going, if we're constructive, we're going towards God. If we're destructive, we're going away from God. So, constructive and destructive. So you kind of get the idea. So pre-fall, like it was good. Post-fall, it's messed up. Okay, you guys get that picture? You with me? All right. Trying not to bore you. And Leela said keep it short, so I'm working on it. And on top of that, you know, as we think about this, like this is a huge problem. How do we do this? How do we get better with this? I mean, we know the answer. We sang about it because he lives. But as we think deeper down, like with our personality and the stuff that's gone on inside of us, something's got to give. We can't be dishonest about this. We have to be real. And there's four foundational truths to understanding people and problems that we can focus on. One is, you guys know this, the supremacy of Scripture. The Bible does provide an authoritative and sufficient framework for thinking through every non-organically caused problem in life. In other words, we got to go to Scripture. The sufficiency of Christ. So, we need a real view of what sin is. And it's not just a word. It's separated us from God. That's real. And we need to know, we need to have a real view of what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price to restore our relationship. That's real. The sufficiency of Christ, like medical and psychological folks, that can help. It definitely helps, but it's substantial. It's not complete. We have to have that relationship with Christ. And we have to be honest. We have to have a commitment to honesty. And the fourth thing in that honesty part, you have to ask yourself, what's going on inside of you? We suppress this. We don't deal with this. There's past wounds that have been inflicted on us because people sin against us from their sin. And it never goes away. It continues. We see people through our depravity. We see people through our wounds. We see people the way that we want to see them. And that's not right. We had this in this small group. So the fourth point is the necessity of Christian community. In this small group last week, we broke up into three small groups, and we talked about what our wounds are. And I couldn't remember stuff, you know, but as each person shared this junk, like these pastors are sharing this junk that they went through in life, you know, just how people have sinned against them, telling them they're ugly, telling them they don't matter, molesting them, you know, just all this junk sinned against them. And but as we kept going around the room, things kept coming to mind, you know, from 0 to 7 and then 8 to 12. And it's not, sometimes it's not like hardcore, like at your face, but sometimes it's like waves of an ocean just eroding at the shore. Like maybe a child, maybe the teacher kept saying, well, you can do better. Well, you can do better. You know, just little things that affect our emotional status, and it just keeps eroding at us. But in small, trusted community, we have to have trusted community. We just have to. I'm gonna say this boldly. You will never grow in your relationship with Christ unless you have accountability. You will not. You have to have accountability. You have to have a small group. The silo mentality of being a Christian, give up. Really. We need corporate community. We need small community. We need to be able to say what we're feeling. We need to be able to cry. It's okay to cry, really. Men, it's okay to cry. It's okay to have feelings. We were designed that way. And so, because we're built for this relationship, we have to go through those emotions. You know, in Genesis 1 there, it talks about how we're image bearers. Man, you know, man is obviously different than God. Man, like God, is a personal being. And what he is in his completeness, we have the desire and capacity to be. God is love, right? We have the capacity to long for love and meaning as well as to love others. He is wisdom and truth. We have the capacity to think, reason, and evaluate. He is righteous, and he chooses. We talked about these up there. He chooses consistently with his character. We also have the capacity to choose and to act. God is perfectly involved in his word as a feeling being. We have the capacity to feel and subjectively experience the world. So when we think about these, so we're created in the image of God, and we've got this stuff, you know, that we deal with. We have these longings. We're personal, rational, volitional, and emotional. We can trust that Scripture is true. We can trust that Jesus paid the price. We have to be committed to honesty. We need community. So as we look at this, everybody has a story. We all have a story. We all have stuff. We're a part of God's story. And Adam and Eve had a story, and look how that played out. So there's four parts of a story, and as you're thinking about this, there's the good and the glorious, like Adam and Eve in shalom, in peace. We have moments of good and glorious. We want more of those. There's the bad and the broken, like the vanity of vanities. That was a bad and broken thing. That affected this lady for forever. We've got to deal with the bad and the broken. We've got to figure out what those wounds are. Have a brother or a sister help us work through that. Maybe get Christian counseling. It's okay to do that. We can't stay there. We don't want to stay in the bad and broken status. We want to get to the good and glorious. And then the dark and depraved is how we respond to people because of our depravity. And community. You know, Jacob and I were talking about this a little bit, discipling and mentoring. You know, there's an age from 0 to 500 in here. I don't know how old you are, but you're at different stages of life. Is this my water or is this my water? Hang on a second. Keep talking. Different stages of life. You know, the crap that says that, sorry I said that. Could have been worse. The stuff that says that 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people in the church, come on, let's get real. Let's dig in. We're the body of Christ. That just can't be. Seriously. Like, if you're going to be part of this community, roll up your sleeves. Seriously. I'm so tired of playing church. We have to be the church. Seriously. So in that, we have to be intentional. And, you know, if you're 80, mentor somebody who's 60. If you're 60, mentor somebody who's 50. That's the way it works. I was talking to Jake, but I was looking at his commentaries, in his office, and you know, Leela's great aunt Vesta just passed away, and she had all these commentaries. And Leela, I'm blessed because they said take whatever you want. And but I'm thinking, like, all her post-it notes are in there, and notes, and like a life pursuing God, trying to figure this thing out. But I know Aunt Vesta had emotional wounds that she never dealt with, so she never fully lived. But just to think of all that time spending in the Word, spending with the Lord, trying to understand this thing, and if she never passed that on, what she learned, like think about that. Like, we're meant to have relationship with each other and pass this on and share and disciple. And I tell you another thing, there's no four-step process. It's messy. Discipleship, mentoring, life, relationship, it's messy. Get ready. It's messy. We need to be messy. We need to allow others to be messy. Seriously. I mean, we can't do the four-step method anymore. That's playing church. We got to get into people's what's gone on in the past. Past, present, and future. We want to get them to the future. So I'm just saying. And then the last point. We're created to make an impact. We're conformed into His image. Romans 8:29, transformed into Christ's image. What was Christ's image? Think about it. Did He have to have the perfect carpet? Right? Did He have to have the perfect pews or the perfect band? Or I don't know. I mean, he just loved people. He just loved people. And He didn't give up. He pursued. Let's stop trying to be perfect, because we're not. What is His image? He was accepting. He looked below the waterline. You know, it seems like at the church, you know, we have to get cleaned up to come to church. Let's come dirty, right? Let's be real. Let's stop trying to clean ourselves up and look a part that we're not, because below the waterline, that's reality. You know, this nice button-up shirt isn't reality. I'm just saying, it's ugly. So, just a little bit on this chart to explain it more. I know I just threw it up there, but this stuff at the top, you know, that we try to deal with and we think we're doing it right, behavior, manage life, the external life, this stuff is what we focus on as a church. And so as we look through this stuff, our heart is down here. We need to focus on these. There's kind of three steps in this drawing. Focus on how we've been hurt. This is the wounded life. So we need to focus on that. How have we become a victim? We're victims because of the way people have sinned against us. The pain, the hurt. And then the repentant life is focused on agency. Agency is how I sin in response to how I've been victimized. So we see people through that lens. We treat people through how we've been victimized. And the last part is where we want to get to. This is where the rubber hits the road. A transformed life, we're starting to focus on being Christ-like. So as we deal with all this stuff, And you got to be real, and you got to get help. You got to have friends, and you got to get through it. As we focus on this stuff, Romans 8:29, we can be transformed into Christ's image, loving, seeing the heart, not seeing people for what we want to see, but seeing them for who they are. What's going on inside of you? That's what we have to ask. So here's some final thoughts. If we have relationships that don't require God's resources, then they are counterfeit. If we make an impact that doesn't require God's resources, then they're illegitimate. If we make an impact up here and not down there, they're illegitimate. Because we are dependent beings, we have to depend on God. God is an independent being. We are dependent beings. We depend on God. Because we are dependent beings, it follows that we don't have the resources within ourselves to live as we were designed to live. We're dependent. We need God. We need each other. God has provided resources for us to heal, and these resources are available only in a Christian community committed to trusting Jesus. Think about that. We can't get healed outside of the church, outside of this community. We need each other. God looks at our heart and not our outer appearance. John 17 is a big verse for us, a big passage for what I do with Alaska Mission Connection. Talking about unity. What is unity? What is unity in the body of Christ? What is unity in churches? What is unity? And so in thinking about the Trinitarian unity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, think about that. Unselfish, equal, supporting each other, encouraging each other. That's the kind of unity that we're looking for. That's what we're called to be. That's the image that we're supposed to bear, that unity. Not going out for our self-satisfaction. It's not selfish. It's always lifting each other up. You know, and if we can do that, others will know of God's love. He won't know because we have a beautiful church. People won't know because we have a good worship team. People won't know because we go out and witness. When we're in unity together and we're loving each other as ourselves, that's love. That's unity. But so often we don't do that, do we? We look through the lens of from our woundedness. Did you get that? First Corinthians 13, the love chapter, one of the love chapters, we need to learn to love through the stuff. So that means we're going to get messy. And, you know, our careers are great. We got to provide. But this is the goods. This is reality. At the end of our life, what have we done? I remember my professor drew this line on the board, eternity, this little dot, that's us. What are you going to do with that dot? A.W. Tozer said, God can't use a man greatly until he wounds him deeply. Scary, huh? Psalm 133 talks about how good it is to work through to unity. We can trust God and His Word so that we can become fully known and fully loved. God's Word, are there nice, neat people in here? Trimmed and proper? No way. Not this Bible I've read. There's some messy people in here. There's some messy people in here. Really messy. We can trust this, though. We can trust that Jesus paid the price. And we need to learn to trust each other. John 17 talks about this is life. Think about under the waterline, the wounds that you've been dealt, and the inadequacies. Like, if you feel inadequate, I see life as an inadequate person. If you feel like you're not good enough, you see life as you're not good enough. But if we can get to the point of getting through those wounds and seeing us as God's image bearers, this is life. This is life. So what is life to you? I'm going through a Christian life coaching program for the year, so I'm going to leave you with some questions. Before that, C.S. Lewis said, if we could see each other in our real selves, we would flat out worship God. Think about that. If we could see each other as our real selves, I added flat out, we would worship God just by seeing who God created. It's a matter of the heart. So as a coach, what's your story? What's your past? What are your wounds? Where can you go to get through these? We have to get through these. What are you going to do to grow? Men, how are you going to invest in your wife, your kids, your neighbors, and your coworkers so that your kids don't live through these wounds, so that your wife, who wants to be pursued, doesn't live through these wounds? What are you going to do? How are you going to get involved at Brighton Christian Church? This is a community. How are you going to change to be the church? Let's stop playing. Let's get in the game. Thanks.
You know, as he was talking, I was thinking about, you know, what is it? What is the church? What is the body of Christ? And we just came out of a sermon series, Ecclesia. And we talked about how these early believers, they devoted themselves, this heart, this deep-rooted devotion to the apostles' teaching and the breaking bread and the fellowship and a prayer. What is the work that he's calling you guys to do? What is the work that the Lord is calling us to? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about the ministry that the Lord has handed us. And I want you to think about this. Because we focus on, in our lives, we validate who we are as individuals by the way we look, how smart we are, the job we have, the car we drive. If we're popular, we're always trying to find the positives, so then this is who we are and this is what we present to those around us, and that's the top of the iceberg. But we're so much more than that as the body of Christ. We do want to deal with the things under the water level. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses, as he was speaking, I was thinking about this ministry that we've been given. In verse 19, he says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It's at the very beginning of this message, at the beginning of this service, I was saying, what are the areas in your life that are hard? What are the areas in life that we need to search ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to search us and the Lord to search us? What are the things under the water level? I didn't know what he was going to speak on today, but what are those things that the Lord wants to do? That's the miracle that he has for you, and that's actually the place of reconciliation with him. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy you. The image that the Lord has placed in you from birth, at birth, that's what the enemy has come to do, to mar that image. So it's not even the sin that you do, it's the sin that is done to you. It's the actions, the word, the attitude that this world gives you, this broken world that steals, kills, and destroys. And that's why we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. So that image will begin he will reflect into that image and speak life and will begin to look more like him. Our identity is not in what the world presses on us, but it's in Christ. It's a ministry of reconciliation. And then as the body of Christ, what is that work that we've been given? A ministry of reconciliation, Christ-likeness. It's that relationship. It's not just watching kids. It's not about, teaching a thing, a class. We are talking about a ministry of reconciliation. It's about knowing our brothers and sisters, getting below the surface level, and loving them deeply, completely relying on the Holy Spirit to be in our midst and to heal those broken, those hard places of our life, to renew that imago Dei, that image. This is the work that we've been given in our families, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our community, in our church. That is awesome. Let's just take a moment. And I'm going to ask you guys, let's just take a moment and be silent before the Lord. I want you just to close your eyes. Because in the end, you know, a message is not sufficient. A message is not sufficient. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord. Allow the Lord just to search you. Think right now as a son or a daughter, that being you, and asking the Father, what are the areas in my life that you want to heal? What is the hurt and the pain that you no longer want me to walk in? What is the sin that I do that chains me and you want to free me? Well, Father God, you are so good. You do truly meet us where we're at. And you meet us, Father God, in the midst of sin, in the midst of pain, in the midst of this world. And that's how you sent your Son in the midst of this world, this broken world, not seeing you, not perceiving you. And you even sent your Spirit today, Lord God, and I thank you for that. I pray that we would be mindful of you. That we truly allow you to do a work in us. To reconcile us. To heal us. To restore us. To renew us. That we can live in the fullness. The fullness, Lord God, of life. That it would be abundant. That it would be freeing. That we could truly be who we have created to be, the Imago Dei. That we wouldn't look at ourselves and have a counterfeit life, Lord. That we judge ourselves according to what we do or how smart we are or what we look like. The world's standards. But it says that you look in the inside, Lord God. The messy place, Lord God. I just ask that for every soul and every person that's here, Lord God, that you would just infiltrate our lives. That we would first seek reconciliation to you. That image would shine bright, Lord God, and it would be free in you. And that we could also participate in the harvest, live in the body of Christ, and bring a message and a love, a heart of reconciliation to our brothers and sisters. But that takes strength. So Holy Spirit, empower us. We can do nothing without you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your great mercy and your love. You are so good, Lord. Bless us today in your holy name. Amen. As the worship team comes, we're going to move into a time of communion and offering. And you'll notice that we have stations around, and you guys can do that on your own. And I just want to encourage you that the Lord is with us. He is with you. There is a great work that He wants to do in your life. And yeah, it is about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And it's about loving your neighbor as yourself. But that's really difficult because at times we don't even love ourselves. Right? But as you take communion, I want to encourage you to think about the blood that was shed and the body that was broken for you. You see, the Lord reigns on this earth. He is supreme. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He lowered Himself for you. With all authority in heaven, He made Himself nothing for for you. That's love. And in our flesh, we look at positions of authority, we look at strength and power to dominate that sin. But those of us that are strong in the Lord will serve, and we'll sacrifice, and we'll love. No one likes to be a servant. Everyone seeks a position of prominence and power and status. But think about it. The Creator of the heavens and the earth lowered Himself to meet you. Think about that. What is love? What is power? What is strength? Who is God? Who are His children? Do we emulate that love? Do we heal His body? Do we rely on His presence? Do we allow Him into our life to transform us into His likeness? So just take a moment. Spend this moment with Him. And when you're ready, come and take communion. But that's exactly what it is. It's communion. To live a life in Him. To dwell in Him. It's not religious elements that we take. It's a life lived in Him through His power. It's a life of sacrifice and love and mercy. A ministry of reconciliation. So come.